Welcome back to the EdTech Takeout. This is episode 122. I am joined today by my co-host, Gina Rogers.
Yes.
I didn't say official one that
and
time.
Only.
I didn't say official that
you
time.
Didn't.
You didn't even catch it.
I did.
I'm back to saying it. I'm joined today by my official co-host, Gina Rogers. Replaceable, but
You know.
Okay. So we are back with our final championship round of March Madness. I was very hopeful that this was going to be like a celebratory episode for our Iowa women's basketball team, but unfortunately, Sunday afternoon, we lost to South Carolina.
Yeah, they had some tall girls. They have some tall basketball playing girls.
Yeah, we look like little dolls kind of dancing around them, but played our hearts out.
I know. I mean, like, I would say that we looked really good.
Yeah, of course.
We were fast.
Yeah.
Accurate. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just hard to get the job done when you have.
Yeah, our rebounding was.
Yes, we got killed on offensive rebounds. And then also, like, they were deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had, I think, 37 points or something off their bench.
Yeah, they've got nine girls that play in the rotation.
So.
Yeah, but we're super proud of Iowa women's basketball and how they've kind of changed the world's view on women's sports. And so we're really grateful, I think, as a team even. It was always something that we got to talk about. And so we're just really thankful for them and can't wait to see kind of what the future holds.
Yep. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah. So the real purpose of this show, though, is to finally have our championship game between Brisk and School AI.
Yes.
Yep. So they're going head-to-head today. And we kind of decided that we'd look just a little bit further now into both of these tools. So we sat down actually together this morning and played with both tools and kind of compared them back and forth and are ready to kind of see where this tosses out. I'm not sure that either one of us are real convinced yet, but by the end, we're going to have to decide a clear winner. There has to be a winner.
Yeah. This is not soccer.
No. No ties.
No one's leaving with a 0-0 tie.
There is no ties. No. So do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
How about you go first?
Okay. So I am defending Brisk today or playing them. I don't even know. I'm putting them on the court.
Yes.
So we in the past have kind of talked a little bit about Brisk and talked about its feedback, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about. But today, what we really looked into more closely was kind of the lesson planning portion of Brisk. So lesson plans within Brisk, I mean, you can make individual lesson plans, which is great. What I would say where we really found the power this morning was that we used the syllabus. Mm-hmm. It created a syllabus for us. And then using that syllabus, we had it break it down into trimesters.
Mm-hmm.
And from those trimesters, we used the something else tool, I think, and asked it to create units for us.
Mm-hmm. A unit.
A unit. And then within that unit that it created for us, it broke it down into different lessons. Then from those lessons, we asked it to make an actual lesson. So not just a list of lesson topics, but then it made a lesson for us. So this is, I think, what's really neat about Brisk is that all of that probably so far took us, I don't know, would you say 10 minutes?
Yeah, maybe 10 or 15.
15 minutes, okay. So then once we started looking at the lessons, some of the additional features within Brisk were that you can create slide decks. So within that lesson, I can give it the objectives. I can select text. And within that doc that it's created, it will create, I mean, it asked me, how many slides do you want to create? And so I chose 10. And within that slide deck then, it created a pretty decent slide deck, I guess. I mean, there were some images that it added. It added questions. What I really liked is that it gave me kind of what I would consider a pretty solid skeleton for me to go back in and kind of, you know, pick apart what I'd want or what I would need to add to. So then I had a slide deck for this lesson plan. I also then looked at the DOK questions. So within there, I selected one chunk of that lesson plan and asked it to make DOK questions around that chunk of the lesson plan. And it created 5 different questions with the 4 different levels of DOK. And there they were for me to pick and choose what I wanted to use.
Nice.
Yeah. So what I think is pretty amazing is through all of that, once again, so that first chunk kind of took 10 minutes, I would say with the lesson design, the creating of the slides, the DOK questions, then we looked at the assessment part that was in that lesson plan.
We did.
And plopped that into Google Forms. So it mm-hmm. creates it in Google Forms. It allowed us to choose whether we wanted multiple choice questions, long answer or short answer questions. And it plopped them. You could only so this was a little bit of a hiccup. So yeah. we chose multiple choice.
Yep.
And it generated five questions for us. It put it into quiz mode, had selected the answers for us already.
Yeah.
And then down in the corner, it said, would you like to add
some long yeah. response questions?
Yeah, right.
And we said, yes. Well, then it generated those into a whole new form. And it also was not related.
No, it made it about photosynthesis.
Yeah. Which we were talking about
solar eclipse today.
No, I think it was when we were talking about folk tales.
Okay.
Folklore. So yeah. we bounced around in a few different topics
yeah,
today.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
But yeah, but so, we never talked about photosynthesis.
Nope, that was not one of our topics today.
So it was very interesting yeah, that it chose those.
And we weren't sure if it was user error, but we couldn't really find how that mm-hmm. could have been user error because it yeah. wasn't something we had discussed at all.
No, unless it was like if it had in there and maybe we missed it, like a placeholder mm-hmm. for like generate long answer questions.
Right.
And it said something like, for example, on photosynthesis, and maybe we just hit generate
yeah.
and it and we missed it because yeah. it was grayed out or
yeah.
something.
Right. Yep.
But which totally could be the case.
It could be. Yeah.
Anyway, I think we talked about though that our maybe our preferred method for using that would be to have it start with some multiple choice questions, but maybe then we would just add two
right.
paragraph response questions or whatever mm-hmm. at the end. And perhaps that would be a good place to go to your DOK leveled questions.
Right. Yeah.
Pull two
sure.
of those that mm-hmm. are going to be on the higher level of the DOK alignment tool.
Yeah. So then to kind of stay on the assessment theme, I guess, is that I did take one of their assessment ideas and plopped it into the create an exemplar. So that is another option within BRISC. And I just said something about, you know, students will create a diagram, which I thought was kind of tricky because it's not going to create a diagram for
yeah.
you. That's not going to be something that it does. But I just was curious, you know, how far we could push it until it was just like, no, I can't do that. So when I put in what I wanted that diagram to be about, and this was about the solar eclipse, it did give me not a diagram, but it gave specific characteristics of what that diagram would look like should it have been created.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it talked about labeling and accuracy. I mean, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, even if it wasn't necessarily an exemplar, it made a really good checklist or a rubric of some sort for that diagram. So I think it's just really interesting how it continued to build upon itself.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really have to come up with new things for it and it would just create it into a new tab right next to it.
Yes. I thought that was the thing that was the most amazing and useful was that you could just highlight a chunk out of your text, click your BRISC tool out of what it had generated, and then be like, hey, create me a presentation on this particular objective or whatever that you've created, and it would just open it up into a new tab.
Mm-hmm.
So every time that it does that with those new tools that it's using, it does ask you to authenticate that you do, in fact, want it to be accessing and using, like, for example, your Google Slides tool or your Forms tool or whatever. But you do that once and then it's set and ready to go.
Yeah, right. Yep. So what else? Let's see. You know, BRISC will create an email for you. It's mm-hmm. inside of a Google Doc, not in your email composer or generator. So you would have to, you know, copy and paste, which is not that big of a deal because the amount of times you're actually probably using, you know, an AI tool to generate an email for you or to give you a start on a more challenging email, it wouldn't be that big of a deal to do it in a Google Doc. So, you know, that part's fine. I thought the response or the generation of the email was fine. We also, in one of these past episodes on this March Madness mini season we've got going on here, had talked about the AI detection feature. And so I think, Gina, you had actually talked about it maybe. Within that AI detection, it actually has two options. One of them is detecting AI. So you just click on the button and it will say, like, I had actually generated something from Brisk inside that doc, and it said, maybe there's something in here.
Yeah. It doesn't identify either the specific chunks that it right. thinks right. are from AI. So mm-hmm. that's like the other part that might yeah. be.
Yeah. So I would, you know, caution you to use that portion or that, you know, feature of the AI detection without some serious, you know, apprehension about its accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
What we had talked about before, though, was the replay, which we, you know, talked a little bit about, but I really kind of went in and looked at things more carefully to see, you know, what buttons can I push, you know, what additional options does it have? So as a reminder, that replay is actually kind of a sped up version history. And so within that feature, you can watch the creation of the doc completely unfold kind of in this time lapse. And you can choose how fast that time lapse is, up to 100 times or, you know, whatever. So you can really speed it up. What I did think was neat is that it also has the option to view it in key moments. So you can click on, you know, different chunks of, let's say, air quotes, with the video of you watching this document. It will highlight some key moments for you to check out. It also calculates the amount of pastes that are done yeah. into the doc. And then it also highlights them in yellow. So I can go in and look at just the parts that were pasted into that document so that I can use my professional opinion about whether or not I feel like it's AI generated or if it's was it changed from there? You know, like I can kind of mm-hmm. take a look and see, well, did they use it as inspiration or did they use it just as their assignment? And so I really liked that ability to be able to make my own decision about whether or not I felt like it was something that needed to be discussed with a student or not.
Yeah.
So I think those are, there's a lot in Brisk. I mean, we had talked about how there's a free version of Brisk for educators and then there's a paid version. You know, the more Gina and I looked at it, we're like, oh, you know, the features that you would get with the paid version are nice, but it wouldn't keep us from using this as a free tool because no. there was such a big paywall. I feel like there's yeah. a lot of really great things for free.
There are a lot of really great things for free. I felt like the things that were blocked out were like the whole intervention menu. Yes, so right. like yep. for an IEP, right, an intervention or whatever, yep. A behavior intervention plan, that was all blocked out.
Right.
And then there was like some specific tools within Brisk that were blocked out within the different menus. So like, mm-hmm. for example, the UDL lesson plan right. was blocked out, or a progress report, or state practice test. All of those right. were blocked out. However, there's so many more things in there that you can use yeah. for free that it does seem like not a lot that you're going to be missing for right. sure.
Yeah. So you can get those features for, I think it's like a 7-week trial, but I know that you did this. There's yeah. like a little, what do they call it?
It's a 45-day trial yeah. and it's, it's the Brisk educators. I can't remember. I'll put yeah. a link to it. I think it might've been in the show notes before, but I'll link good. It in okay. there again.
Yeah.
And so you go through, it's a little training course.
Yeah.
It's like it takes maybe 15 or 20 minutes to yeah. go through some of the different videos on how to use some of the different features in Brisk. Mm-hmm. And then once you do that, you complete like a little form saying that you've completed it. And there's a Facebook group that you can join, that there's lots of conversations yeah. about how they're using the different tools. And they give you then access to all of the features for 45 days. And they do give you a countdown as you're
yes.
working through your 45 right. days. So you know how much time you have left.
Right. Yep. So I think those are all my notes, I think, around
yep.
Brisk. I think I shared everything. So I think you're up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we took a look mm-hmm. at School AI together today. And so feel free to jump in at any point if I forget anything or if I'm not illustrating something enough. So we kind of had the tools match up next to each other doing similar tasks. And so like we had Brisk going through and creating a syllabus, we asked School AI to do the same thing. There's actually within the tools in a or School AI, there is a syllabus creator. So that's in there. We then had it generate a unit plan. We used the course outline tool to do that. So we took our example of fairy tales and folklores. Can you generate a 3-week unit on this? And it went ahead and did that. Then we dove into one of the individual lesson plans that it had kind of skeletoned out and asked it to make a more complete lesson plan, which it did a fairly decent job at that. Now, one thing that was kind of nice or interesting within School AI is that you're able to go in there and highlight like a chunk of the text in there and ask it to use additional AI tools to either beef it up a little bit more, so make it longer or be more specific in the details that it's generating, or make it simpler or more condensed as well. So there's a lot of different options that you can use within the already generated AI content. The one kind of downer of what it generates is that you can download it as a PDF, or you can send it to a colleague or to yourself, but then it opens up in that particular format. You can't just automatically send it to a Google Doc or send it automatically to your a Google form or something like that. You're going to be doing some copying and pasting or downloading of whatever, putting it someplace else to use it in whatever your preferred form is. So that was within the tools. We then started thinking a little bit about, okay, so what were some of those other activities that we had some of our AI tools engaging in throughout this like short series that we've been doing the past 2 weeks? And so one of those was like generating an email. And so we went into the assistants. And so those are like the individual little chatbots that have a specific list of tasks kind of in mind to support educators in doing different education-related type of work. And so one of those is the co-teacher. And so in there, if you just chat that particular chatbot and say, hey, I'm having a hard time writing this difficult email to a parent, and it'll say, okay, yeah, let me help you. Give me some more specifics on the incident and or on what needs to be in the email. You give it some specifics, and then eventually it does generate a pretty good email template to use. Again, you'll have to copy and paste that into your preferred email client. It doesn't just automatically show up in Gmail or Outlook or wherever you might do your emailing. Zendesk? Zendesk doesn't show up in there. That's one thing to just be aware of or whatever. There's some copying and pasting that goes along with it or whatnot.
Right.
There is a place where you can go back and look at your previous outputs or what you've done with the different tools in School AI. So in addition to the tools and then the assistants within School AI, which we kind of outlined. Oh, another part of the assistants that we played around with was the essay grader, which was pretty impressive what it did do. So I asked it, I said, hey, I had my 12th grade students write this essay on In Cold Blood and from Truman Capote. I gave it pretty vague instructions. And it was like, okay, what do you want them to receive feedback on? And I was like, clarity of argumentation. And then it says, okay, do you have a rubric? And I said, no. And it said, okay. And it generated a rubric for me of what I might be looking for in these essays. And then it was like, okay, give me the first essay. And so I copied and pasted an example essay and put it into School AI. And then it graded it against the rubric, which I was like, oh, that was pretty slick.
Yeah.
The one thing is that you're doing a lot of copying and pasting if you wanted to use it continually, like for a class of 35 or whatever students.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of copying and pasting.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you use it like some of the time. So like maybe like the first two to get calibrated before you start grading. And then do 10 and then go back, submit another one, have it provide feedback, just to kind of calibrate yourself as you're grading.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that the copying and pasting might get a little redundant or whatnot. But I could use it definitely as a grading type of a coach or whatever to just make sure that I'm doing my best job or my best work.
For sure.
Grading. Let's see. So we also looked more deeply at the sidekicks and spaces. So specifically, I went into the ACT tutor sidekick.
Yeah. And we barely made it back out.
And it said, so what do you want to focus on? It gave me some different examples or what it could do, like test prep strategies or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So the one that I selected was I need help in a specific content area preparing myself for the ACT. So it said, great, what do you want help on? And I said, algebra 2. And then
for all my life.
And then it said, okay, what aspects of algebra 2 do you need help with? And then it gave me some examples of content that's typically covered in algebra 2.
Right.
And so one of the things I chose was functions. And then it started out by saying, okay, so what do you know about a function? Like when we talk about domain and range, what do those things mean? And so I kind of answered it. It's like, and then it kind of employs, I thought it was interesting, this, it's almost like a Socratic questioning methodology where it asks questions, tries to get some understanding of what the student knows, and then asks another question to try to move them around, along, and another question. And it does get eventually to actually coaching the student through some different problems. And so one of the ones it gave me was, f of x equals x squared, what's the domain and range of that question equation? And I was like, oh geez, it's been a long time. School AI. I'm not really gonna take the ACT.
I'm already done.
But we did get into some actual types of questions that I might need some help with. And I did like that it explained through to me the processes.
Yeah.
The one part that was a little iffy about it, it asked me to, like, if I could visualize what the graph might look like for this particular equation.
Right.
And I said, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can you draw it for me?
Yeah.
And it was like, well, I'm unable to do that. And it's because it's...
because I'm AI.
Yeah.
I'm not able
Well, it's accessing a large language model. It's not accessing like image generation type of capabilities.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that's why it's like, I can't do this. But it did give me really specific instructions on how to draw this graph. So it's
and
like,
we could have certainly.
We could have done that.
Yeah, we could have done
it. Yeah. Make your x coordinate or make your x plane, make your y coordinates, like number them out 1 through 5, number them out 1 through 5. And then it's like, plot these series of points, draw the line. Okay, this is what it looks like. And then we got into quadratics and parabolas. And I started thinking,
started to tap out.
I'm done.
This is a lot.
I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not actually prepping for the ACT.
Yeah. I would be curious to see, like, if kids that are really in the you know, meat of Algebra 2 right now, if they would become as kind of overwhelmed as we were. It was really text heavy. We did at some point get an analogy, which was helpful, I think, to both of us, because that's kind of
– yeah.
That works for our brain. So I did like that they – you know, that there was an analogy that kind of helped to demonstrate it because it's not very visual, like you said, obviously, but it did help me process it in a different way. So I did like that, but I would be curious.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very much like, here's a lot of text.
Right.
Can you make meaning out of it?
Yeah.
And so if I was a student who had a hard time, you know, illustrating pictures in my brain or making up pictures in my brain of what I was reading,
yeah,
it would be it would be difficult for me. I mean, it was difficult for me until we got that analogy thrown at us.
Yeah.
So.
And the nice thing is, though, too, is it does have speech to text. And although we couldn't, I could not get the text to speech to work in the, in which thing? The open subject area.
Yeah.
Which you're going to talk about yet. But, and it also had different languages that you could use too, which is, you know, something just to note, I think.
So those were the, one of the specific spaces that we dug into a little bit more. We also looked at the kind of open subject area tutors, and we got into health and wellness.
I did, yep.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Something different.
And so again, it's employing that Socratic questioning method where it's trying to zone in on what the students know. As a teacher, I felt like, was this the one, help me, Mindy.
Yeah.
Was this the one where we preloaded it with like a set of instructions?
No, but this one didn't have a lot of instructions. It was more, I think, and I would like to play with this more to just figure out what the parameters of it. But this one, to me, I felt like you just kind of went to it. And you could tell it beforehand, like, what grade level students it was speaking to. And then if you wanted a certain, like, topic to be covered, I did in one of them put, like, I would like a – it was a historical or history one or something. And I said that I wanted them to talk about Martin Luther King Jr. and learn about it. And when I went in as a student, it didn't ask me about that at all. Like, it was just like, who do you want to learn about? So I feel like when you go to that, it's more of just like an open exploratory for students to kind of – and then it, as a teacher, I could go in and look and see what questions were asked. And then it did give kind of a small summary of what I was asking about for the teacher to view like in their dashboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we've liked about School AI is that the teachers are able to see the interactions that the students are – having if they've created a space and shared it with their students.
Right.
We also took a look at the exit tickets and bell ringers in there. And we added in some of the objectives from a lesson that we had drawn up previously with AI. School AI gussied them up a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So made them more understandable to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we launched the exit ticket.
We did.
We did.
Yeah.
And it it took a long time to I don't think it ever actually did say that it had gathered enough student input from us to feel like it was confident in rating our understanding of the topic of the eclipse. And so it asked a lot of questions back to us to try to get to our understanding. And again, we were brainstorming after that of like, oh, do we have to give it instructions on you can only ask five questions of the kids? Do we have to give it more parameters? But we did feel like as play students, we were interacting with it
quite a lot.
Yeah. It was asking us a lot of questions.
Yeah.
We were giving it a lot of answers. A couple times we asked it, am I done yet?
And it just kept
and it's
going.
Like almost. And then it gave me like four more questions.
Yeah,
and
right.
eventually we just stopped.
Kinda gave up on it.
Petered out.
Yeah, and it would give more than one question in the prompt, which I don't – even if – I mean, especially if you're using it with – let's because we looked at it, we're like, I don't know if kids under fourth grade, if this would even be something that they'd want to tackle. But asking more than one pretty decent level question in one prompt seemed like a lot. So I was just answering like the first question and not the second question. Just because it seemed, I was like, oh, I don't feel like kids would like sit here and give an in-depth answer to all of these questions. So
And we talked a little bit about the fact that we could see as a teacher, like maybe their first place that they would feel the most comfortable would be in that tools menu, where you're taking a look at all of those kind of organized tools mm-hmm. that can be used for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
Next, looking at the assistants, mm-hmm. which are kind of those chatbots that are organized or developed around a certain teaching task.
Right.
And then the last thing that you might take a look at are some of those ways that you can use school AI with students mm-hmm. and having them interact with the chatbot. I guess if I was brand new to AI and what it could do in the mm-hmm. classroom and how I might use some of these different tools, I might take a look in that particular order.
Mm-hmm.
And also definitely model for my students the way to interact with some of those different AI chatbots.
For sure.
And helping them understand that it will continue to ask you questions to try to more further mine out some of your understanding around a particular topic.
Yeah.
And I might have to even give my students parameters for, okay, how long do you interact with this before you move on to your next task. I just was thinking of, I was trying to get it to help me write my own narrative or my own folklore.
Yeah.
And it asked me a couple questions like, oh, where do you want to set this? And I was like, Iowa City, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, let's add some landmarks or things like that to make it unique to that setting.
Sure.
So I said, okay, let's do something with Carver and Kennick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it asked me something about like, is there anything that you could think of that's magical in Iowa City? And I was like, Caitlin Clark is really good at three-pointers. And then it was like, huh, so then how could we use Caitlin Clark's magical three-pointers to solve some sort of a problem in the store?
Sure.
You know, so we were going back and forth for a while.
Right.
I think that I would have to say to my students, have a conversation with this chatbot for, you know, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after those 7 minutes, like jot down maybe
an outline of some sort
where you might go next. Because mm-hmm. I could see some kids just going on for days and days.
Right, for
and
sure.
The thing just keeps on asking them questions.
Going.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think about, and I keep thinking, I wonder if we just haven't figured out quite how to use those, like if it's just user error still or just ignorance in the nicest way possible, ignorance, you know, that we just haven't figured out how to use it yet. But so I don't know, because this is, to me is kind of tricky, because I do like with school AI that it does have the student aspect to it. So Brisk, you know. In the last episode, we talked about how students could have a Brisk account so that they could provide themselves feedback or put it in to have it generate feedback for them. Now, whether or not people actually use it that way, I don't know. But I think the student aspect of it is pretty powerful. It just has a – it's got a broad reach of lots of different things that it does. I don't know. What are you thinking?
So before today, honestly, I had convinced myself that school AI was the one that was going to win this competition.
Yeah.
When we had our experiences being like play students in there, I just started thinking a little bit about how this might require some real coaching for students on how to interact with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, right.
And I think I also simultaneously, in addition to feeling that about school AI today, was pretty amazed.
Blown away.
By the fact that Brisk was just like, I'd highlight a chunk and then I'd be like, create a new presentation on it.
Right.
Highlight another chunk. Create some DOK questions on this.
Yeah.
And it was just like these nesting dolls that would be one after another.
Yeah.
So.
In such a short amount of time, too.
Gosh.
You know, like you and I talked about, you know, as teachers, sometimes we're like, oh, I just wish I could do something different. Or, you know, this unit never hits with kids. But we just don't have time to put something all together or to, you know, try something new. And at least with something like this, it gives us, I mean, it may not be perfect and we may like look through it and this part needs to be beefed up or this isn't quite right. But the amount of learning materials and lesson plans and learning outcomes and the, you know, quizzes you can make and the questions you can write, all of that is such a huge time saver so that when we as professionals go to look at that stuff, we can really use our time to make it more powerful than the organization of all of it. Or, you know, I mean, it's just, it was really phenomenal. I was really shocked today too.
I mean, it's very aptly named.
Yeah, Brisk. Brisk. And then you just be like, brisket, which also made me not hungry, meat. But whatever. So no, I mean, I'm willing to say Brisk wins this if you are. You're gonna
I am. I'm not saying there's I think no, that, you know, Brisk
everybody's
is
a winner.
South
Please
Carolina.
Don't say everybody's a winner.
School AI is Iowa and they both do awesome, awesome things.
Yeah, right.
Just Brisk is a little taller today.
Yeah, just blew us away today. Yeah. For sure. All right. So we hope that you've enjoyed our March Madness, Gina's gem of an idea for our last couple episodes. If you have an AI tool that you are messing with right now and want us to take a look at it, we would love that. I mean, we're having a hard time keeping up with all of these AI tools as they come out too.
Oh, goodness.
So, you know, send one our way and we'd be happy to take a look at it and share it on the podcast because I think it probably is the one thing that we're getting the most requests about right now. And so we're trying to stay on top of things too. So, you know, send us your ideas. But until next time.
This has been the EdTech Takeout. We hope it hit the spot.